Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Mesa City Council study session for February the 27th. Both Mr. Glover and Mr. Luna are otherwise engaged and they are excused. The first item on our agenda for today is to review the items on the agenda for tonight's regular council meeting. So, council, if you could please take a look at that agenda. First three items there are liquor license applications, item four, various purchase contracts. I know we asked a few questions about some of these items earlier. I don't know if there are still any questions about anything under agenda item four, any of the purchase contracts. Agenda item five is resolution, and six is also a resolution related to wastewater terms, rates, fees, and charges. Seven, that's approving a subdivision plat. And then there is an item off the consent agenda today. That's item 8A, conducting a public hearing on an annexation case. This is a little unusual because we don't take a vote at the end of this. We just have to take have a public hearing in order for the applicant to move forward with their annexation petition. So there'll be a public hearing, but at the end of the hearing, there's no action that we're going to take. Right. Okay. Council, any questions regarding any of the items on the agenda for today? If not, we'll just go ahead with the consent agenda as it's on the agenda right now. The next item on our agenda for today's meeting is item 2A, hear a presentation and provide direction on the City Council priorities relating to the Community Development Block Grant, Home Investment Partnerships, Emergency Solutions Grant, and Human Services Programs funding. It's good to have Liz Morales, our Housing Director, with us. Thank you, Liz.
I just want to go through the federal grants funding process and the priorities that are laid out in the consolidated plan to seek your direction based on what priorities you feel are important for this next fiscal year. Just to refresh you all, the federal funding that we receive from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development comes to us in annual block grant funding that's based on our population and other factors. So it's a formula based, and each program that we get approximately four different types of federal grants. They're each very unique in purpose and eligibility requirements and regulations. So they're not necessarily funds that we can swap and use interchangeably. The federal block grant funding, the first one I want to talk about is Community Development Block Grant. Also, we refer to it regularly as CDBG. We receive just over $3 million on an annual basis. It's used primarily for low to moderate income households and individuals. It's used for various ways. It's very broad in its purpose. We can use it for infrastructure development, repair of private and public buildings, revitalizing neighborhoods, economic development. We also use it to provide public services that are often administered by our nonprofits. There is a cap there of 15% of our total funds can be used for what we call public services.
I'm sorry, Liz, could you explain that a little bit more? So does that mean no more than 15% of that $3.2 million can go to human service providers?
Not that it's a limit to human service providers, it's based on the limit to the activities. So, for instance, some of the programs we fund under that might be education or services, like Paso Cristo, that might do services for through their food program. Mm. So those type of services that don't fall under the other activities, there's a limit of 15%. We can get into more detail if you like. Dennis Newbern has more understanding on that.
I think I might like to know more. It seems odd to me that of that $3.2 million, only 15% can be used to provide services to the public through a nonprofit. Is that a correct way to say it?
Mayor, members of the council, the cap that Liz spoke of has everything to do with a restriction that's been put in place to make certain that the majority of funds do not go to activities where a third party or persons as an individual basis would benefit. The CDBG program is based more on a bricks and mortars type concept, so the cap is there to make certain that the majority of funding goes for those type of purposes.
So It's not flowing through us to other providers?
Correct.
Okay. That makes sense to me. Thank you. Any other questions, Councilman?
I do. Liz, are you going to talk about the revitalization of neighborhoods later on in the discussion, or is this a good time?
We can discuss it, and I'll use an example, revitalizing neighborhoods. It's to improve sidewalks. We're using it right now to reduce slum and blight in a special project called Love Your Neighborhood. Those are a couple of examples how revitalizing neighborhoods, it's used for that purpose.
I know in the past we've the council has really kind of strived to use CDBG dollars for more transformative, something more for the entire community versus specific. For example, one of the things that we did is we pushed some of the funds over for the promenade. So do we have any projects like that currently listed that would be really transformative in nature, that would be more for the entire community, or?
Mayor, Councilmember Thompson, I'm not at a point where I can discuss potential projects. We did receive applications, but those are still under evaluation, and I will be bringing that to you for review. But in the past, the facade improvement is definitely one of those projects. The things we've done with parks and libraries have been very large-scale development and projects that we've done.
Okay. Thank you. Please continue.
The Emergency Solutions Grant is the funding purpose is very specific to engaging homeless individuals and families that are living on the streets or in shelters. We use it to help in the operation of shelters. It's used also to do what's called a rapid rehousing program, which is a short-term rental assistance. And it's also used for prevention of keeping families out of homelessness. So the activities there are very specific to addressing homelessness. Yes.
Mr. Winkle.
Does this include transitional housing?
Mayor and Councilmember Winkle, transitional housing is not one of the eligible activities under Emergency Solutions Grant. The Home Investment Partnership Program, we've recently discussed that funding source. That is used primarily to build, buy, or rehabilitate affordable housing for rent. It's also to encourage home ownership, so down payment assistance type programs or building affordable housing homes. Also, it can be used to provide direct rental assistance to low-income people and often it's used for special populations like homelessness. So if we're looking to try to address homelessness, this is a good use of providing a rental subsidy to get them into housing.
Liz, it's good that we're asking you questions, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Very good.
So I know we're working on a general housing plan right now.
Yes.
And so one of the things that we'll be discussing that housing plan, I assume, is how is Mesa doing in terms of home ownership? Are we above or below the average in terms of home ownership? And I don't know. I have a suspicion what the answer to that question is, but I don't know for sure. But if our is that a topic that will be discussed in our housing master plan?
Mayor Giles.
So that we know whether or not we ought to come back to you and say, well, we'd like to prioritize home ownership more or less than we have previously?
Mayor, it will definitely address all levels of housing, from home ownership to rental housing to mobile home communities. It will encompass all various types of housing, what levels of income and what the affordability is for those types of housing. So if our affordability for home ownership, if there's a need for that, that will come out in that report, and what areas we possibly could use a greater number of affordable home ownership type opportunities. So that definitely is what the information we're asking to come out of that report to help make those policy decisions.
Remind me, when is that report likely to come back to us?
So we're looking at hopefully summer. We're in contract now with a consultant, and we're really at the beginning of that process. So it's going to take about 5 months from the time we just issued the contract in February. So for phase
right.
one, which is just that data gathering analysis, kind of getting the landscape of Mesa and housing.
Okay. So that will come back to us too late for us to give you feedback now at the beginning of the year when we're prioritizing how we want to fund things for this cycle.
Mayor, I would say that is it will help us for the 18-19.
Okay. Thank you. I think both Mr. Winkle and Mr. Thompson had something to Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Thompson.
I know, thank you, Mayor, for asking that question, because I think one of the things that we really pushed for last year was to encourage the homeownership, to take pride in the community, to really try to transform some of our neighborhoods and moving from away from the rental and so forth into the homeownership. I personally would love to continue seeing us go down that path with the home investment dollars. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Mr. Winkle.
Is this in support of or separate than the consolidated plan?
Mayor, Councilman Winkle, can you restate that question?
So this master housing plan?
Yes.
Is it separate or does it support the consolidated plan?
So thank you for asking that question. Now I understand. It will complement and support the consolidated plan. So it's going to include all the information from consolidated plan, the general plan, census data, and it's going to validate and update a lot of the information that was in our consolidated plan, and will help broaden the information that we have in the consolidated plan to understand the full scope.
Mr. Freeman.
Liz, thanks. How is this money broken out by percentages, by applicants? I mean, $1,200,000. So how does it given out?
So Mayor, Councilmember Freeman, I will tell you there's a couple things we have to do right at the top. So we have just a little over a million. 10% of that is admin. That comes off of that, so it's about $100,000 there. Then 15% is going towards what we call community housing development organization activity, which is CHOTO. That is the home ownership, building homes, and that is a very specific allocation that we cannot touch, and it has to be designated to someone we deem as an eligible CHOTO. And right now we have that contract with Newtown, and they are building homes and selling them to eligible low-income home buyers. So after you take off those amounts, we're left with about $750,000. And what we've allocated in the past is $500,000 for rental development and about $250,000 for other activities like home, the down payment assistance and some of those activities.
So those numbers can be moved around?
Yes.
Because I'm all about what Councilmember Thompson talked about, is encouraging home ownership, becoming self-reliant, then reinvesting back in your neighborhoods. And so stepping back and seeing the housing plan will be very beneficial on how we proceed in the future.
Mayor and Councilmember Freeman, something else is because this year we've allocated that $500,000 up to, we're planning to allocate up to $500,000 for Art space.
Yeah.
Thank you. This year, that 17-18 is kind of taken up. We'll be coming back to you for the remaining $250,000 as far as some other opportunities or how you want to use those funds, possibly for tenant-based rental assistance for homelessness or other down payment assistance type programs. So we'll be coming back. So there'll be some opportunity to make decisions on this year's allocation apart from what we're doing with Art Space. But definitely 18-19 will be wide open on how you want to use those funds as far as the percentage and the allocation of that.
So as far as priorities for the home dollars, we've already earmarked of the 750 and this left after the commitments, we've already allocated the 500 to Art Space. So really the only amount that's discretionary at this point would be the 250. So in terms of setting priorities for that, did you say you're going to come back to us with some suggestions?
Mary, I will be coming back with some suggestions. And again, it will go along with what priorities you've set as well.
Okay, thank you.
The 1 million.
Yeah.
It's $1,202,000.
Yeah, there's an extra zero in there.
I see
yeah.
that.
Yes. $9 million more.
Yes. I apologize. It is an
increase.
Yes.
I know.
So it's $1,002,000.
Those numbers just shows you I wasn't looking at the slide
no
there. But thank you for that clarification. Talking about human services program, that is general funds, which also includes the ABC funds that we receive through the utility donation. So of the $826,000, really $720,000 of that amount is going towards grants, towards the contracts that we do. What we've been doing with human services program is We really primarily serve that with nonprofits. And the nonprofits do a variety of types of programs, from crisis to prevention, early intervention services, transitional services, long-term support, system support, like community information referral. But, you know, those are all really important things that our nonprofits are doing right here in Mesa, and it really helps support their operations, is how we've used those human services grant.
But, Liz, to the council, this is general fund dollars.
Yes.
So you have the most, I guess, flexibility, right, with how these dollars are assigned out.
Yes.
And so I just want to make sure that's clear. These are, it says general fund dollars, so just know it's coming directly out of the other general fund to kind of complement, I guess, in the past, what we were able to do with federal funds.
So I'm sorry, Liz, how did we get the first 100 grand that comes off of this? 720 is available for grants.
Yes.
What's the other 100 grand?
Mayor, we have some commitments for utility support from some of our nonprofits, some for admin. So it's really taken up by those activities, but primarily the majority of the money is going to through the contract.
So Liz, that when we say that nonprofits, that is that the senior...
the senior center, Yvonne.
East Valley. So we've committed. We just is how we track it, Mayor.
Yes.
Is it comes out of this fund, and 90,000 or so, maybe?
Yes, 97.
Yeah. So that's where that's coming from. And then we have $1 million of committed dollars in CBG to do improvements out there also.
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. Other questions? All right.
I just want to review the consolidated plan, which is a five-year plan. It was implemented in April of 2015. It is our primary guidance on how we invest the federal dollars. It also outlines the priorities on which we will apply those funds. When we did the consolidated plan, it went through intensive public comment and input from stakeholders. It is a little different from the housing master plan because this is very specific to serving low-income households. It's not looking at the general housing plan data. The annual action plan is part of the consolidated plan. It's something we have to do on an annual basis. So every time we allocate our funds, we submit that to HUD for approval on how we're going to utilize those funds on an annual basis. And so that it goes through a city council approval every year.
This is required
it is
by the
feds.
Yes. It's not something we do on our own.
The consolidated plan is a mandate.
And we have to show that when we're making our decisions, it's consistent with this consolidated plan, correct?
Correct. We have to tie what the activities are to what our priorities are.
So when is this going to be an action item for us to, again, commit that we're... Is the annual plan? I'm sorry. April. It was adopted April 2015.
Right.
And did you say that we annually have to reauthorize it?
So we go through our annual application process. We come to, and this is actually, I'll go to the next slide. Well, actually, the slide that has the timeline.
Oh, okay.
We open our application process. We go through the evaluation, and then May 15th, somewhere in the middle of May every year, we come to you to get that approval. After all the allocation, all the funding decisions have been made. So that typically happens every year in May. It's due to HUD at the end of June.
Okay, thank you.
So on the consolidated plan, I just wanted to highlight what those priorities are. There's the plan is much more in depth, but just to give you the highlight of what the priorities are. First, it's invest in economic growth and workforce development. Increase and maintain affordable housing stock. That's not related to rental or homeownership. It's both. So however we can support affordable housing stock, it encompasses both rental and homeownership. Also, decrease homelessness. That's one of our priorities. To provide other non-homeless public services, we discussed what some of those services we do through our CDBG and our other funds, implement a transit-oriented strategy for community development, increase collaboration between service providers, and to affirmatively further fair housing. Those are the priorities that are set out in our consolidated plan.
Great.
So again, our timeline, we have already closed our application process. Just to give you kind of a teaser, we've received 13 CDBG applications and 15 applications related to homeless activities and 40 applications for human services grant. So that gives you an indication there's a great need for our funds and a lot of interest.
We have a lot of applications, but correct me, the first question we asked going back to the beginning of this is no more than 15% of our CDBG money can be given to agencies and to respond to these types of petitions, correct?
Some of them may be asking for projects, Mayor.
That's correct, yes. Okay.
So that she, yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Chris Brady is correct. We are, there's a variety of applications. They're not all for public services. So some of them will be for larger projects related to infrastructure, other types of activities.
So, okay. Yeah, we've built out kitchens for homeless shelters. Mm-hmm. We've done major improvements and things
like
that.
So that wouldn't count to the 15% cap?
It's not included in that 15% cap. That's outside, because the 15% is an actual public service,
right?
Delivering a service. These are projects, right, as we talked about before.
And of the between the 13 CDBG applications and 15 for homeless activities, we will outline which of those are public services versus non-public services as far as where they fall under the cap. So that will give you an opportunity to understand which ones you want to prioritize and fund.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I just say something real quick while we're on this topic, just because I think this is important? So, Liz, talk about the fact that while we have this allocation from the federal government, from HUD, there's also a requirement that we need to have a certain spend down each year. So here's the challenge. HUD requires us to spend the money quickly, but the majority of the funds that they give us is really intended for projects. Mm-hmm. And to be able to push projects through, mm-hmm, under these timelines, meeting all the federal guidelines, and when the funding becomes available, it's a squeeze. And so one of the things we need to work with our agencies and with council is, because the majority of money is going to projects, we are having a difficult time sometimes getting projects out the door. Now, some of that is we as a city need to do a better job, but we also need to work with projects that are more than conceptual, I guess, maybe a better way of saying that. Am I saying that right? So as with council evaluates projects, they may sound great, but if they haven't really started in the process of really outlining the design or engineering, puts us way behind and be able to get those projects out there and spend the money. And the spend of the money is very important. Just briefly talk about that.
So there is a requirement that we do not have more than what they call 1.5 ratio, which is expenditures to what we have on hand, cash on hand. So we're always watching projects that are ready to go, and if we can spend that money faster, then we meet those deadlines, and that those deadlines are on an annual basis where they're looking at that. So it's okay if a project might take 2, 3, 4 years, but then we have to make sure we're spending money in other areas to ensure that that project that is a little more costly isn't affecting our ratio. So the last 2 years we met the timeliness requirement. This year it looks like we may not, just because we have several large projects on deck that are ready to go but not spent. And so we work with HUD on that issue and how we can address that. Now on the home side, on the home program, we have 24 months to spend that money. And if we don't spend that money in the 24 months from when we allocated it, it goes back to the U.S. Treasury and we lose it. So there's a little bit more time definition on the home side. The CDBG, we don't necessarily have deadlines, but we have timeliness and ratios that we have to meet. So we could get other money moving faster, even if one project looks like it's taking longer. Dennis, is there anything you can add to that?
No, Mayor, you're absolutely right. I think that with respect to what the city manager said a few moments ago is accurate. In the past, we've not done the best job in terms of identifying projects that we could get done in a short time frame. We've made some changes in how we operate, and part of those changes has everything to do with an evaluation of the activities to determine on the front end if, in fact, it can be done within a time frame of 18 months or less. If we are of the opinion that we can't do it or the organization can't do it, then, of course, at that point we have a decision to make. But generally, the evaluation process that both Liz and the city manager spoke of are absolutely correct, and that's what we're doing.
Well, I appreciate what a complicated process this is. The federal government money is welcome, but it's also a huge undertaking to comply, isn't it? Councilor Mr. Thompson.
Liz, I had one question. Are any of these funds what we used last year when House of Refuge needed help?
Yeah.
And I thought we pushed some dollars out of this to them to help get them back up and running.
Yes, Mayor, Councilmember Thompson, we did use our human services funds to help with the moving of many of those families who were going to be displaced because of the loss of the HUD funding for transitional housing. So we were very fortunate to have some human services dollars to be able to do that. And effectually, I think we moved about 15 families out pretty quickly with those funds. And so they were very important to kind of address a crisis, and House of Refuge has been doing well since then with identifying new funding sources. But in the meantime, that helped address those families that were potentially at risk of eviction.
And I know you work very closely with all of our nonprofits that work with the homeless. Do you see anything like that on the forefront or anything like that in the future or this year coming up where we may need to reserve some of those dollars for an emergency situation?
Mayor, Councilmember Thompson, the funding decisions have been made on the homeless funding from HUD. The local decision makers already had taken some of those impacts, and none of them impacted Mesa, but there were some impacts on some other types of programs. One was a safe haven, some were for youth services. So there was still cuts, but not anything that was unexpected. It was a decision made on the forefront for the next year, so those providers were well aware in advance of those cuts.
So Liz, this process has already started. The application deadline is over as of the 2nd of February.
Yes.
2nd of March, our Housing and Community Development Advisory Board will review the pending applications, correct? And they will make recommendations on how to allocate these funds, and then that will be reviewed by a council committee called
Yes.
the Community and Cultural Development Committee,
Yes.
and then it will come to a vote of the full council, correct?
Right.
So I think what you're looking, I'm sorry, does that conclude your presentation? Are you?
I want to just go through one more, just
Yes.
to, as far as the direction I'm seeking from,
Yes.
From all of you, is really on what are your priorities relate that you would really like to see as we're looking at these applications and what we can share with the advisory board and what we can bring when we bring our recommendations. We're aware of what your priorities are. I wanted to just share some examples of what those are that we have done in the past. Increased downtown small business opportunities where that falls under the priority of economic development. The priority of increasing and maintaining affordable housing stock may be to increase down payment assistance for first-time home buyers. We know navigation services work, so increased navigation services for homeless, that would fall under the priority of decreased homelessness. And supporting fair housing services would fall under affirmatively furthering fair housing. So that is the direction I'm hoping I can get from council today that I can carry back to the advisory board and to staff as we develop those recommendations.
Thank you very much. I think you're ready to get some priorities. Mr. Freeman and then Mr. Thompson.
Thank you, Liz. On the first-time home buyers, are you talking about also, does that include the rehabilitation and refurbishment of homes and encouraging home ownership? Is that part of that program in there when you break it down?
Mayor, Councilmember Freeman, those are all activities that fall under the supporting increasing and maintaining affordable housing stock.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Thompson.
I like these priorities. I would support these. The only question I have is supporting fair housing services. What exactly do you mean by that? Because it seems like it's a federal law anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Is that you have fair housing laws that are, you know, so what exactly does that mean?
Mayor, Councilmember Thompson, we currently do support some of our fair housing centers. They get some funding from HUD, but it's not sufficient to cover all their activities. So we have historically funded some of our local fair housing institutions. We also fund community legal services, which provides that same type of support for low-income renters on how to deal with landlord-tenant issues, fair housing issues. So our funds have typically provided support to some of those agencies. And I'm sorry, I wanted to add one more thing. Another way we've affirmatively furthered fair housing, we've done some pretty amazing educational opportunities citywide available to the public and other housing agencies that sponsored by the City of Mesa on fair housing topics to make sure people are informed and educated.
Are we seeing a lot of return on investment for that?
I would say, Mayor, Councilmember Thompson, it's not easy to quantify the return on investment. It's more about ensuring that the information is readily available and accessible to all people who may not be aware of those laws.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out if those funds would be better utilized in increasing down payment assistance or in the economic development of our downtown. You know, so I'm trying to gauge where in the priorities that really should be. And if it's something like, you know, you can't keep enough card stock in the in the, or enough pamphlets in the in the wall, you know, because people are using them, then that's fine. But, you know, if you've got boxes and boxes of information sitting around that's not being utilized, then maybe it's best utilized somewhere else.
Mayor, Councilman Thompson, part of the discussion has to do with the fact that the fair housing activities that we undertake are actually mandated as a condition of the receipt of federal dollars. So in trying to plan activities that will promote education as well as enforcement of applicable laws related to Title VI fair housing, Title VIII, excuse me, are part of the responsibility of receiving the grant. Now, to illustrate a little bit further, based upon something the mayor asked for, these type of activities are what we consider to be direct benefit activities, and they're separate apart from the activities that provide bricks and mortar type activities. But in going back to your question, I think that the most important thing is that, one, it creates a culture of compliance with the law, and two, it solidifies the city's commitment with respect to providing fair housing activities. So, I think that the activities, as Liz kind of spoke of, that we've undertaken in the past helped to do that, and they certainly have helped to satisfy our requirement as it relates to the law as well, too.
So maybe, Liz and Dennis, one thing maybe for the benefit of the council, could you give us maybe a report that would indicate how many individuals are served through these programs? Because I think that's the end of the day, right? It's one thing to have the funds there, but how many, because this is really about serving individuals who have questions or concerns about that relationship with the landlord and making sure they can get their questions answered to understand the situation they're in. That's effectively the service we're providing, right?
Absolutely, yes, sir.
So maybe you could gather up and we could get a report to the council to give them a sense of
it is
a service
right.
that helps individuals kind of resolve those kind of issues with their housing, correct?
Yes.
And become more informed about what their rights are.
Yes.
Okay.
Happy to do that.
But yes, Mr. Whitaker.
It's the wrong name, isn't it?
I just stuttered. I didn't say the wrong name.
We're getting there.
That's right.
In the past years, where have we seen where we've lost the funds and they've gone back to the Treasury? Are any of these priorities need to be adjusted so that we don't have that happening?
Mayor, Councilmember Whitaker, we have not sent any money back to the U.S. Treasury as long as I have been here, and I think even before that. Only a year and a half. But I do have historical information. I do have historical information, and the city of Mesa we've had a good record, at least for the last 5 years, of doing well with our federal funds.
We've gotten some very strongly worded letters.
Sure.
I can tell you, in the last 10 years. Right. So we have to be very careful. So, but talk about, correct me wrong, a lot of times it is project related that's where we have the hardest time spending the dollars, right? And maybe give some examples of what the challenges have been related to that.
Sure, Mayor. Among the challenges associated with large-scale projects in the past have been things like the applicant has not secured the land prior to coming to us and receiving funding. That creates a delay when that happens. Or if the land has been acquired and there are environmental problems that have to be addressed before moving forward. That's an example, too. Sometimes when the bid process happens and the bids come in, the bids are entirely too high, and we have to go back to the drawing board, and that takes time, too. So those type of things and I'll say in the past, we've not done such a good job of taking a look at them. We're actually doing a much better job now of making certain on the front end that we don't make those kind of mistakes and get those kind of letters that the city manager was alluding to from HUD.
Okay. The other question I had is, why do we narrow our focus to economic development specifically to downtown versus citywide?
We did that 5 years ago, excuse me, Mayor, Councilman Whitaker. We did that at the beginning of the consolidated planning process for the current plan that we're in, largely because the emphasis is being placed on the light rail. In one of the proposals that's been received for funding this year, they actually have expanded their emphasis to look at areas beyond downtown, and we applaud that. And I hope it makes it through the process. But the short answer is that the primary focus was because of the downtown and the light rail.
Mayor and Councilmember Whitaker, I just want to indicate that these are truly examples and not necessarily my recommendations to you on what policy directions we're looking for, but I wanted to provide you some framework. So if there's anything beyond this list is not meant to be all-inclusive of what we're looking for, but just some guidance.
Sample. I'm sorry?
Samples of things we've
got. Okay. Thank you. Yes, Mr. Thompson.
I think to piggyback off of what Councilmember Whitaker was saying, too, is instead of just focusing strictly on the downtown for the sake of focusing on downtown, one of the things that I was trying to prompt Chris a little bit about, I couldn't remember, but we just had a big economic development study done on our redevelopment areas, and that now goes all the way down to Fiesta Mall, takes in on some of that area. So could we utilize some of those funds for the economic development piece for that area as well?
We believe so, and we hope that we're engaged. For obviously economic development is good for the community and good for the program as well, too. So, and as I said a few moments ago in response to Councilman Whitaker, the focus had been narrowly placed on downtown, but I think in large part because of that study and because of the fact that Liz has prompted us in a new direction that I think that that's attainable and hope we get there soon.
Because I think we have an opportunity to you know, it's the tide that raises all ships.
Yeah.
And if we can spread that peanut butter around a little more than just in one focused area, it may be more beneficial to the city, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I think.
So, Mayor Councilman Thompson, there's the Fiesta District RDA, and there are two others that are currently underway. So those expenses have already to create those boundaries in those districts to do those studies. What could happen that once we create those RDAs, then we could designate within those RDAs the opportunity to assist small businesses. Mm-hmm. Now, before we go too far, what are the limitations on how we have to prove that up in economic development? Because there are some strings attached to this. Let's make sure we understand those too.
Sure. Mayor, a councilman, and responsible the city manager said, yes, there are strings attached with it. And chief among the use of CDBG funds is always going to be the requirement that persons principally of low and moderate income are the beneficiaries. To get there is a very complicated process that will require a lot more time than we have today. But the upshot of that is this. When we're talking with a potential business about using our money to assist and to employ persons, we're going to be looking at to see who are the people that they're targeting. We'll have mechanisms in place to make certain that those persons are actually employed, and in the event that it doesn't happen, the appropriate payback. But it's a very complicated process, but at the end of the day, we're checked by HUD to make sure that we did it right. And to date, I'm very happy to say that the activities that the City of Mesa has been involved in on this subject have been done very well.
The last question I have, do you see any of these programs being at risk as the federal government starts to shift their focus, like today, the increase of $54 billion towards military spending and cutting from domestic programs? Are these programs directly at risk?
Mayor, Councilmember Whitaker, they absolutely are considered domestic programs, which have been indicated that will be experiencing some cuts. I have no idea whether they will be going after these particular federal funds. So they are potential cuts coming to them, those are for the upcoming fiscal year. So hopefully we will be made aware of in the next several months what our allocation is for the 17-18.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Mr. Freeman. Hi, Liz. Got some more questions. First-time home buyers, you have in there in parentheses, increase and maintain affordable housing stock. Mm-hmm. So I don't know really quite what that means.
Sure.
So I've kind of been brainstorming here. Mm-hmm. Does that mean for a nonprofit, Habitat for Humanity could come in and buy and rehab homes and create affordable housing stock, and with this participation, allow that to happen? And then I'm thinking, okay, the economic stimulus towards the neighborhoods, revitalization of the neighborhoods along with that. So is that something that plays out there? Because I didn't quite understand increase and maintain affordable housing stock.
Okay. So Mayor and Councilmember Freeman, maintaining is the rehab activities. That would be maintaining affordable housing stock. So we want to keep what affordable housing we have and make it quality housing. The increasing is to say, outside of what we already have, could we do infill housing? Can we develop more opportunities to build of other affordable housing in other areas? So that would be the increasing. So maintaining really is that rehab function, and increasing is really what else can we do to develop more.
And when we say increasing,
a lot of times that means purchasing existing homes.
Yes.
We did that quite a bit of that down the
NSP.
NSP during the downturn in the economy, where we purchased banks directly from the banks.
Yes.
We were in foreclosure, and then we would go in and rehab them, and then for some we were able to sell.
Yes,
when that was our first priority, and then after a while, did we ever lease some out?
If you don't sell them within a certain time period, it has to go to as a rental. But I will tell you, that's principally been our activity, has been solely purchasing existing homes, rehabbing them, and then selling them to eligible low income or moderate income households.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. The last few weeks, I've talked with some of the human service providers in our community about the topic of homelessness and how are we doing on that topic. And I've gotten some feedback and had some personal experiences with the homeless community in the last few weeks that have kind of caused me to wonder if we are being as strategic as we can be in prioritizing how are we allocate funds to address homelessness. And so I'm not advocating necessarily for more or less money towards that problem, but I am wondering if we ought to be a little more strategic and making sure the money goes to the most vulnerable people so that we're getting the best bang for the buck. So I know time is far spent, but I would still encourage us to take a strategic approach to prioritizing how we allocate our homeless dollars. For example, I think there are, what I've heard from the service provider community is that there are some holes in our safety net. And if you identify a particular type of homeless person, a woman with no children, a woman with children, you know, various scenarios, and you say, okay, what does this person do in our community? Sometimes the answer is we don't have an answer for that scenario. And sometimes we're talking about vulnerable parts of our population. So I think we need to, like I say, be strategic. I hate to overuse that word.
Right.
But maybe get some of the service providers together and say, what are the holes and what can we prioritize so that we can patch those holes?
Let me start and then you can fill in wherever I missed. I will tell you, Mayor, that because of some of the concerns and that we've heard, our application process did point some priorities as far as what we're looking at to be more strategic with the funding of homeless. We've been very, City of Mesa has been very proactive in addressing homelessness through their past funding processes. So what we did do, based on the feedback we heard that you're indicating, we did ask for very specific projects to address various needs that we, pretty much three top needs. And we do want to work with you and our homeless providers to address more strategically on how we can do homelessness. And we have some initial draft ideas of how we can do that. And we can develop that. And then when the funding decisions come, hopefully we can address what you're talking about. Did you want to add to that?
Sure. Mayor, the other side of the story is the fact that with respect to the application process for this year, we've done a little bit of changing in how we're receiving applications for this subject, with the aim being to address everything that you just said. Mesa is very fortunate, frankly lucky, that you happen to have a community development director that specializes in this subject, and even more so that you have a member of administration that's been a very active supporter. I'm talking about Natalie Lewis on this subject. I think that it's important that with respect to identifying the issues within our community and in trying to match funding and to try to increase the level of partnerships to resolve particular issues as it relates to instances of persons who are homeless on a daily basis, as well as the mental health component that's associated with it. And so when we come back to CCD and also the council in April and May, I think that you'll be very pleased with the direction that Liz has provided with respect to the organizations that we hope we're working with, as well as the emphasis on collaboration to eradicate homelessness.
Thank you. Mr. Thompson.
Liz, are you on the Vision 2020 committee?
Yes.
Okay. I thought
Thompson.
You were, because I see you so many places I couldn't remember if you were on that or not. But
yes,
there, it's
I'm
a group of, a pretty large group of our community nonprofits that deal with homelessness and some of the issues that we've been talking about. And they're actively talking now about how to come up with or identify the needs and resolving some of the issues surrounding homelessness. So,
right.
Awesome. Thank you.
So, Liz, and does be clear, so today we already have the applications for this next round have already come in.
Correct.
So we're going to try to prioritize what we have in front of us to kind of help meet what the council's has expressed as priorities and strategies. But we could also, looking forward to the following year, be even more specific in that strategies, whatever it might be, homelessness or whatever, so that we encourage applications on the front end to address those directly. So we'll try to work with what we have in front of us now, Mayor, but hopefully even after this, as council begins to articulate your vision going forward, we want to attract and encourage applications that directly apply to that. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay, so I don't know that you need a motion on this. You just need some direction to try to hopefully get some consensus.
Economic, we heard home ownership was still very important to continue to consider.
Right. I have a few more buzzwords to throw your way.
Okay.
I do endorse, I think earlier the comment was mentioned about the importance of navigators, and I think that's the model that I think we saw be successful in the veterans homelessness approach, where we identify people by name and we establish relationships, and that seems to be the most effective way to do this. So I know we have invested in a navigator in downtown, but I think that is a proven program that I personally could be excited about seeing expanded. And I did like the priorities that we listed, and I noticed that one of the first or second was workforce development, and that it's targeted towards low and moderate income families. To me, that's code for early childhood education. So I would love to see maybe if we don't have in our pool of applicants right now someone who is saying, I want to do that, then maybe we set aside some dollars outside of the allocation process and we use that to partner with or pilot with Mesa Public Schools and or other community partners in an early childhood education option to augment what's out there. I'm not suggesting that the city develop a Department of Education. I'm just saying that we partner with Mesa Community College, with Mesa Public Schools, for maybe some grants for online programs, take-home kits, focusing our museums and libraries and parks departments in ways to provide other options for early childhood education. So, like I said, I know everyone knows that's kind of a priority of mine, but as we sat here and identified what this money is to be spent on, to me it seemed like that clearly fit into those priorities. So maybe we've given you too much feedback.
No, not
okay.
Too much.
All right. Thank you, Council. Any other feedback you wanted to share with these folks? So we're going to see this a couple more times. Our committee is going to see it, and then it will come before the full council, so we'll have plenty of more opportunities to critique how this money is being allocated. But thank you. We know how complicated this process is. We appreciate what you're doing.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, council members.
You bet. The next item on our agenda for this item is 2B, appointment to the Housing and Community Development Advisory Board. Is there a motion to that effect? Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. The next item is to hear reports on meetings and conferences attended. Anything to share? It's probably good just to note, frankly, for the public's benefit. We had a strategic planning meeting of the Mesa City Council last week, and I was encouraged with the amount of discussion and conversation and the enthusiasm for working on a strategic plan. And so we didn't make it all the way through that agenda. So council, just to reiterate what we already talked about, I think we're going to continue in our Thursday morning study sessions and Monday afternoon study sessions to bring those topics back so that we can complete the discussion that we started last week on some of those items.
So, Mayor, I think the first step was for us to kind of take the input we received Thursday and at least bring that those comments back first and then follow up from there. Is that accurate?
I think so.
Because you at least start from where you left off, I guess, is the point.
Right. And I think we, frankly, though, didn't make it to the end of that agenda.
No, but just for where we were, we got a lot of comments and a lot of changes to the text, and so we were going to bring those back first. Because some of them were more thoughts and ideas than actual sentences, so we're going to work on working on that part. I think that's our assignment. Does that sound correct?
It does. To me, I think we got started on two or three topics, and admittedly, the direction that we provided was somewhat cryptic. You know, it was a word here and a word there, and so good luck to staff, you know, to turn that into intelligent, interpretation of what we were saying. But then there was also, I think, two or three, we didn't finish talking about all of the strategic priorities. And so I think we could kind of take a two-prong approach. Let's go back and wordsmith and fine-tune what we started on. But there's still a lot left to be talked about.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. So thank you. We'll look forward to next month or so, you think, when we'll come back with that?
We're right in the middle of budget
hearings
in April.
I know we've got budget hearings coming up, too. So
we'll try to squeeze it in when we have time. So, yes. But it's important. We'll try to figure out how to work it in there. So.
Expect this to remember.
So April-ish.
Yeah. Well, April is already booked with budget, so maybe we could try to get one in before one before April.
Okay.
Now the other challenge here too, what March presents us is the having everyone here.
Right.
So we've got to work on that schedule, as you can see for tonight. So we'll try to find the times when we know everybody's going to be here. And then working through the budget's calendar, we'll give you some dates coming up.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. That's true. I hope I'm here when we have that come in. Mr. Winkle.
So is the strategic plan initiatives supposed to inform the budget?
That's been helpful. Yeah, that helps. But we recognize that, I mean, the budget is, we have a deadline, so we'll be bringing this forth. But I can tell you already, just from the feedback, a lot of council conversation that we had last Thursday, I've already started sharing that with many departments as they've been coming through and presenting their budgets to me. So hopefully, just even from that conversation, you'll see some of trying to address specific issues related to the conversations we had during that earlier discussion last week. Absolutely. So I'm not going to wait for it to get, I guess, formalized. That feedback is very helpful, and we're already passing that along to two departments now. Okay.
Yeah, I think that discussion will be interpreted into a lot of the stuff we do in the short term, not just a month or two from now.
Yeah. Very quickly, Councilman Winkle's kind of inquiry. Also know that when we bring you the presentations, we'll try to include or incorporate much of what we heard. But also when you hear the budget presentations in April, that's your opportunity to kind of give feedback also. And if a department needs to go back and look at something different or new, then we'll try to take that opportunity to do that then also.
Thank you. Next item on our agenda is schedule for future meetings and general information. Mr. Brady.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder, we do have a study session this Thursday at 7:30 a.m. And also very exciting, that afternoon, on March 2nd, we'll be having the grand opening of the first phase of the Mesa's Rio Salado Pathway. That'll be Thursday, March 2nd at 4:30 p.m. The pathway entrance is at 960 North Riverview. I didn't even know we had an address. It's the underpass next to the water treatment plant over in Riverview Park. So everyone's invited. We want you to come out with your skates, your bikes, your hard running shoes.
You can rent bikes here.
And actually, you can rent bikes in front of Sloan Park and then drive them out and ride them over there, too, if you want. So that'll be fun. So come on out. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. If there's nothing else, I would entertain a motion to... Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Thompson.
I just wanted to do a shout-out to our fire rescue. They had a flawless FAA Part 139 inspection out at Gateway Airport. And so I wanted to give them kudos. So good job.
Thank you. Is there anything else? If not, is there a motion to adjourn this meeting?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We're adjourned.